Broadcasting from the cradle of liberty in Philadelphia, all the way to the rhythm and blues of Beale Street in Memphis, to high atop the Wasatch Mountains in Utah.
This is where politically correct perception meets common sense.
This is the Joe Carey Show.
Hey, welcome to the Joe Carey Show. It is Friday. We have made it through another week. The weekend is here. What a great week it's been. And in terms of politics and culture, is it just me or do things seem to be coming more fast and more furious at us? Last night I watched the debate, and I've got to tell you, it was amazingly awful. Just not in terms of the policy, but just the overall functioning. It is hard to believe that a news organization as storied as NBC couldn't figure out a better or more productive way to conduct that debate. But in an era of where inclusivity is the driving force, what else could you do? Then put everyone on that stage, even the individuals who shouldn't have been there. 2 days of debates yesterday, as hard as it is to believe, was actually worse than the first day. And I did my part. I watched it so you wouldn't have to. And if you're scrolling the internet, you've seen those word clouds, right? It's that group of words in the shape of a bubble, and whatever word is used the most is bigger, and the word that's used the least is smallest. Which word do you think was biggest? I think the two contenders were, one, immigrant. Now, they don't call them illegal immigrants anymore. They call them immigrants. Immigrants and free were the two driving themes of the 2 days. But I will tell you, I think that the winner of the two debates, Donald Trump, nobody on that stage, no one, looked presidential. I mean, the first night was just, it was a train wreck. I mean, if you saw it with the microphones actually went, no, they didn't go out. What happens is the host, they wear a mic pack. And you don't see that, but they're wearing a mic pack and their mic is, you know, affixed to their lapel or, you know, to the dress they're wearing. And when they walk off the stage, a tech is supposed to turn that mic pack off. Well, yesterday, the first two moderators during the first hour, they switched it up and then Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow sat down. Well, when the first two hosts leave the stage, their mic packs should be shut off. And if they're not shut off, when they're backstage talking, that's all picked up and it's all broadcast over the speakers. So Lester Holt and the moderator, they walk off. The two moderators walk on. Chuck Todd is trying to ask his question, but it's being crowded out because Lester Holt's mic is still on. What a disaster. What a disaster. I felt bad for all the attendees. I felt bad for the people watching. But I got to tell you, it was almost like watching a high school musical, you know, where they're scrambling to get the audio right or something's wrong with the lighting and you watch them learn. But here's a national news organization. They can't even get the mics to work right. But last night, let me tell you, Joe Biden looked bad. He looked bad. He didn't look presidential and he came across as weak. Not in terms of, hey, I'm the former vice president. Weak in terms of physically. And he looked tired and non-inspirational. And I think a lot of that was, you know, his handlers. Remember Mitt Romney? When Mitt Romney took his debate and Mitt Romney was doing really well in the polls and it was his to win or lose. There was a certain period of time where he could have turned the corner. And I think if Mitt Romney allowed himself to be Mitt Romney, not on the policies, I don't agree with Mitt Romney on several policies, but just in terms of being himself, Had his political handlers allowed Mitt Romney to have been Mitt Romney, I think he could have won the nomination. Right? But every time you walk into one of these presidential debates, you have a multitude of advisors telling you, say it this way. Make sure you don't say this word. When you talk to the female opponent, you know, make sure that you smile and you gesticulate this way. It's crazy. And you're bombarded with all this advice on how to win. And you're given so much in advice on how to win and what to say and what not to say that you stop being yourself. And I truly believe that's what happened to Joe Biden yesterday. I've watched Joe Biden speak. Look, we've had him as 8 years as the vice president. He didn't even meet that threshold yesterday. And I think it's because he was always in the back of his mind thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do? And what am I supposed to say? And yeah, and Bernie Sanders, I think he just came across as old, meaning his ideas, they didn't seem dynamic anymore. But one thing is clear. There are two different American futures. And 2020 is going to determine which path we're on. There is a progressive future where you do get free health care. You get free college tuition. Where you're guaranteed an income even if you're not working. Your student loans are forgiven. And the candidates last night made it clear that is their vision of America. Forget about the $15, you know, minimum wage fight. That's yesterday. Although I did meet a $15 an hour employee today at the supermarket. Yeah, it was an actual robot that's moving up and down the aisles. But there's that future, right? There's a future where they're like, hey, no one has to work. Everything's going to be free. And they paint it as a utopia. But there's no country or people in the world that have ever been able to capture that and execute on that, ever. And the reason for that is it's counter to people. It's counter to the natural man. It's counter to that, hey, I've got to watch out for myself. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to take care of my family. And the founding fathers, they recognize that. So what they said is, look, instead of setting up a government that's counter to human nature, let's try to harness human nature. If we know people are going to watch out for themselves and we know people are going to watch out for their families, let's design a system of government that harnesses that, that exploits that. Progressive Democrats keep saying, no, you know what? Let's beat that out of people. We can beat that out of people. We can educate that out of people. I don't know if you can or can't. I don't know if you can or can't. But they are talking about free health care, not only for Americans. When they asked yesterday, how many of you on this stage are promising that you will provide free health care for illegal aliens? Every single hand went up. Joe Biden, he honestly, if you look at the video, he looked to his left, he looked to his right. And when he saw all the other hands going up, he did like a half raise. His hand didn't go, it kind of just came up to his chest. They're not only promising free health care to all Americans, they're promising it to all illegal aliens. Joe Biden, he even went a step further. He said, you know what? We have to fix the countries that the illegal immigrants are coming from. He says that'll get them to stop coming. You know what I'm thinking? The Democrats can't fix Los Angeles. They can't fix Chicago. Democrats can't fix Detroit. How in the world are they going to fix Honduras? How are they going to fix Guatemala? We can't fix the corruption and crime in Detroit. You're listening to The Joe Carey Show. We have a big day, lot planned. We're going to finish up with the election. And Molly Davis from Libertas, she's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back right after this break. Right here on K-Talk, 1640 AM and the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Stay tuned. A big show coming up right after this commercial break. Welcome back to The Joe Carey Show right here on K-Talk 1640 AM, KYAH, and Coast to Coast on the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. You know, if you've watched the debates last night, all the Democrat candidates and even Donald Trump, they all agree on something. And they all agree that health care in America and how we pay for it is busted. It's broken. Right. The same group of politicians who promised us, look, you know, we're going to fix this. We're going to make it cheaper. We're going to make it more affordable. It's been, what, 7-8 years since the implementation of Obamacare? We still can't. We still can't get costs under control. And the reason is very simple. And it's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. There's a rule of political science and there's a rule of social science. And that rule simply states the politicians who create the problem are going to be incapable of fixing the problem. And that's what we have now. We have politicians who have created this nightmare of who's going to pay, how much. And they've put so much bureaucracy in place that prices can't come down. The great news is there are people in the private sector. There are people who are already, they've already come up with the solutions. Solutions to cheaper and less expensive health care, more in line with your beliefs. One of those groups, the tip of the spear, is Liberty HealthShare. And we have Matt Bellis from Liberty HealthShare on the line with us. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you guys.
But Matt, it's true. The politicians, and this isn't a slam on any party, I think because they've created the problem, they're going to look at the solutions a certain way. And you need out-of-the-box thinkers. You need out-of-the-box approaches to what we're seeing. And Liberty HealthShare has that. You guys said, you know, this health insurance thing isn't working. We're going to do something called cost sharing. And that's very different. And I think very, very successful. I've seen your growth. I've seen your membership explode. It's working.
Well, we actually agree with some of the politicians that you have cited that the way that we pay for health care these days is fundamentally broken. There is a problem there. The unfortunate aspect of it, those who are looking to solve it are missing the biggest powerful factor when it comes to controlling, containing health care costs, and that's the individual patient. The person who is generating the cost of health care should be not only free within those costs, but responsible for those costs. And whenever they have those costs, they should be supported by a community of people to help them in their time of need during those things that are unexpected and unaffordable. And that's what we've done with Liberty HealthShare. We've given the power of health care back to the individual patient so that the individual member is able to guide, control, direct their own health care in cooperation with their community of people who is there to support them in their time of need. Every time that you have an expense that is unexpected and unaffordable, that's when a community of kicks in to support that individual in their time of need, and that's what healthcare sharing is all about.
So, Matt, there's a lot of people, you know, when I talk about Liberty HealthShare, when I bump into listeners and they talk to me about Liberty HealthShare, one of their questions that comes up a lot is, Joe, I have a doctor, I have a pediatrician, I have a doctor that's been treating me for 20 years. How do I know that if I switch to cost sharing, if I leave the insurance universe and go to cost sharing, that my doctor, you know, my kid's pediatrician, that they are going to be part of the Liberty HealthShare network?
Well, that's part of the beauty of Liberty HealthShare and what we have done as a community, because we don't have doctor restrictions, networks by which limits you to a certain list of physicians or hospitals. We don't have a network. We, again, have that responsibility. If you as an individual want to work with a particular doctor, go to them and say, would you work with me as a healthcare sharing ministry member? And as long as that doctor's okay with it, we're not putting that restriction on you. We want you to be able to direct and guide, go where you need to. And so that's a responsibility and a freedom that you have as a member.
That's absolutely amazing. So there is no in-network, there's no out-of-network. This truly is doctors, medical providers, and patients saying together, this is something that we want to do, we want to have this direct relationship. And I have to think that doctors, they're happy. And I shouldn't say think, I know this is the case because I've spoken to my doctor about it. They enjoy the relationship they have with their Liberty HealthShare patients because they know the patients take their treatment seriously. Like, that's, they understand that because the patient has a direct stake in that, in their own health now.
Absolutely, and that's very vitally important whenever you're working with a doctor, to have that sense of ownership over your own health care and your health. Because it is in that sense of ownership that you take responsibility for your care, avoid behaviors and things that would be detrimental to your health. You know, we have that sense of ownership again. We're no longer entitled because we put money somewhere and people should just give us stuff. This is actual ownership, working with a doctor in hospital. And we know that doctors love Liberty HealthShare because they get to work with a patient. They don't become de facto bureaucrats for a third-party insurance system.
You know, just two more questions, man. I've got to tell you, I travel quite a bit. Not as much as you do, but I travel quite a bit. And I was talking to an Uber driver, and he was just going on about the not only the flexibility that he's able to choose the doctors that he wants to work with and see, but the cost savings that he has in working with Liberty HealthShare. And he says, you know, he says, I'm on my own. He says, this is my full-time job. I drive Uber. And he says, I have to provide for my own health insurance. And he was priced out of all the other health insurance networks. And until he got to Liberty HealthShare, who does cost sharing, he was like, I didn't have, you know, help to pay these medical bills. So my question, and Matt, I really don't know the answer to this one, for small businesses that are looking for a way to save money on their end. And, you know, health insurance is just too costly for many small businesses. Does Liberty HealthShare provide a service for that small business?
Well, we have worked with a number of individuals within healthcare. There are ways to go about your healthcare that go far beyond what I'm able to tell you over the phone right now. I would very much suggest that if you are a small business and you want to be able to provide your employees different options and methodologies, go talk to your tax professionals and other folks who might be able to help you with this answer, because every situation is different. But we have in the past been able to help those within small groups, small businesses, to figure out a way to work with them. But that's a discussion that each individual employer needs to have with their professionals, just because we want to make sure that we're respecting the relationships that they've already built. So absolutely, it's out there. We just want folks to take the proper, responsible steps to do so.
Understood. And Matt, thank you for making the time for us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Joe.
That was Matt Bellis with Liberty HealthShare. Please visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Save money. Get the medical care that you deserve at a price that you can afford for you and your family. We'll be back right after this break.
Credible, thoughtful discussion without the partisan outrage. This is the Loving Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Joe Carey Show right here on K-Talk 1640 AM, KYAH in Central Utah and coast to coast on the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. You know, Utah passed a bill, and it really didn't, I don't think it got the attention it deserved, because I don't think the media and journalists took the time to really understand the bill that was passed and what it does. But I think it was the first step in clawing back some of our rights. And, you know, we started the show by talking about how quickly things are moving. And, you know, the Supreme Court just ruled that if you're unconscious, the police can come and they can take your blood and do a blood alcohol test on it. You know, and you may think, well, I don't drink and I'm not going to get drunk and I'm not going to pass out, but it affects you. And Utah, they passed a law, and it's been regarded and hailed as one of the toughest privacy laws in the country. So we reached out to Molly Davis. She is a policy analyst with the Libertas Institute right here in Utah, who was a big proponent of this law. Molly, thank you for coming on with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I've heard that this law really is the tip of the spear, cutting edge stuff when it comes to protecting privacy. Do you see it the same way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so much of our information, our personal lives, is stored within our digital devices today. I mean, we have financial records, medical documents, personal emails and texts and photos and all sorts of things that we thoughtlessly put into our phone and we don't think of how it's protected. And so this law that we passed here in Utah this past legislative session, sponsored by Craig Hall, Representative Craig Hall, it's really a major step in the first law in the nation to protect this information from warrantless searches by law enforcement.
So tell me about that. I have this phone. Well, you know, I have nothing embarrassing or shameful on my phone. So let's use Brian Hyde's phone for an example, you know, because who knows what he has on his phone. So the police come knocking. They have Brian Hyde's phone and he says, I don't want to unlock it. I don't want you to search it. How does this bill change or protect Brian?
Well, you know, they would have to have a warrant to search his phone. And it's a whole other legal arguments that come into play when talking about biometric data privacy and what's protected with a passcode. But let's just forget about that for a moment. And let's say that instead the law enforcement, they can't go through Brian. They can't get his permission to go to the phone. And so instead they just go to his cell phone provider or an application he uses like Google or they just go straight to Verizon or Twitter or whatever he's using on his phone, and they say, they go to them with an administrative subpoena, and they say, hey, hand over Brian's information. We suspect him of committing a crime or suspicious activity. And before, they could do that. But now in Utah, there's a higher evidence standard, and they actually have to obtain a warrant to be able to get that information. So under this new law. And so this is really about Fourth Amendment constitutional protections, and the law has really lagged behind for a long time because technology is just changing so fast, and it's hard for the law to keep up and the courts to keep up. And so what Utah has done is really been proactive about this and protecting our information ahead of the courts in this way.
So, Molly, you know, this seems pretty common sense that, you know, people want privacy. Who was against this bill? I mean, did it pass unanimously?
The people who are there's some question, of course, with like the law enforcement community. This would be an easy way for them to get people's information by using an administrative subpoena, and by getting a warrant, it's a higher standard. So you are adding kind of a little bit of a roadblock, if you will, there. A lot of law enforcement, they argued that they're already getting a warrant anyways, but our response to that was, well, then why not pass the law and just codify that anyways? But it did have a lot of support in the legislature in the end. It did pass, and it's now already signed into law and in effect as of May. And other states are now looking to do the same as well. So it's a great progress.
So, Molly, let me ask you this. If the next legislative session is coming up, and I'll ask you to speak on behalf of yourself, not Libertas, but let me ask you this. If there was a provision in the law as it regards privacy that you would like to see implemented, if you were to say, okay, if I could get one thing passed, or if I could get the legislature's attention on one privacy issue, what would that be? I mean, in Europe, they're fighting this battle over, you know, the right to be forgotten. You know, and if someone wants to pull their data off the internet or off these social media sites, they have to comply. But since you study these issues, you're the policy analyst, what do you think is the next big fight where, you know, you want to bring attention and focus on?
One big fight that we're currently looking into right now is your information stored within your actual phone. So we covered the third-party data aspect of it pretty well so far. But data stored within your phone, it's constitutionally protected if you have a numerical passcode. The police can't detain you for refusing to give your numerical password But if you're using a fingerprint or a facial scan to get in your phone, they can detain you for refusing to give that information, or not information, but to refuse to look at your phone or put your fingerprint down. And so that's something that different courts have been ruled. Some judges say it's protected by Fourth Amendment and they can't detain you. Some others haven't, but there's no legislative law on this. And so we would like to give the biometric passwords, your facial scan and your fingerprint scan, the same protection as a numerical password has. And so it's a little bit of a wonky issue, but it really has to do with Fourth Amendment protection rights. And also, it's just something that I think is just, we have to keep up with the changing times, and biometrics is the next big fight. Another thing we're looking at is DNA privacy and what companies can and can't do once they have your DNA information, because you share your DNA with family members. So should law enforcement be able to have access to this when you sign up for a service like 23andMe to access your lineage and questions about your DNA? And so that's another thing we're looking into protecting. I want to comment quickly on the Supreme Court's decision today to allow police to draw blood from unconscious patients.
Yes.
They actually won't be able to do that in Utah because Utah passed a law this past year after the Nurse Wobbles incident that will ban them from doing so without a warrant. So we're protected in that area.
That's great news. And look, the whole biometric data protection is very important because every time I come into the studio, Brian is truly, he's got a piece of sandpaper and he's rubbing off his fingerprint. And I'm like, Brian, you don't have to do that. But apparently he does until Utah passes a law to. But Molly, let me ask you one other question. I know you're busy, but let me ask you this. When I went to Disney with my family, they required a fingerprint scan. And they put that scan on your pass because we were there for a week or something. And, you know, you needed that scan. And they said, look, if you don't want to give us the scan, it's simple. Then you don't come in. Do you look at that as a policy? Do you look at that and say, look, you know, it's a private institution, if that's the standard? Because, look, if Disney wants it, you know, it's a private company. You don't have to go to Disney if you don't, you know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are, I mean, that's a little concerning. I had no idea that was happening. But I actually think that's going to be happening more and more with private businesses. I mean, there is argument to be made that they are a private business, but I also think that they have a moral obligation, if not a legal one, to protect that information that you give them. That's very sensitive data that you're handing over. And they should definitely be letting people know what they're going to do with those fingerprints and who they're going to share it with. And that kind of goes into another issue of, like, terms and services agreements in general when you sign up for anything online, when you sign up for a new, like, social media app or anything. Nobody reads any of that information. They just hand over their data, and and that's kind of it. And so that's, I think companies should have an obligation to let consumers know exactly how they're treating that information and what they intend to do with it. And if it's, I'm sure there are some laws that need to be passed to make sure we're protecting that from being exposed to the wrong people.
Molly, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on with us and explaining that the Utah law and these other decisions. As these things pop up, we'll reach out and have you back on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Molly. Hey, you're listening to The Joe Carey Show right here on K-Talk, 1640 AM. One more segment. Come back, tune in right after this commercial break. Welcome back to The Joe Carey Show. Thank you for tuning in. It is Friday, and, you know, we usually go to your phone calls on Friday, and I'm sorry that we really haven't had the opportunity to do that, but if there is something on your mind or something you want to share, call back during someone else's show. You can give us a call. You can give us a call. I want to just spend this last segment with you talking about something that I think is really important. And, you know, there's a lot in the world that reminded me about this. And one was, you know, the University of Utah student that has been missing. And, you know, the police have just reported that they have found her, and she was dead. And they're treating it as a murder case, and a man has been charged with that murder. And, you know, when you come across things like that that happen in your community, it reminds you that, wow, there's a lot of important things that don't happen on a political stage. There's a lot that goes on in life that puts things in perspective. You know, Brian's son just came home from a mission yesterday. And, you know, things like that just, they change the way we think. They change the way we feel. And I think that's, you know, part of the, you know, the greatness and the buffeting that life offers. And, you know, during the debates, during the presidential debates, this happened yesterday, there was a woman on stage. And, you know, did you ever play that game where, like, you show a picture and you've got to line them up with their names? Like, I was doing that because I don't know all the candidates. There's so many Democrats running. Like Hickenlooper, I think he's the former governor for Colorado. I wouldn't recognize a Hickenlooper. But there he was, and I recognized the name, and you kind of recognize the face. But 27 minutes into the debate last night, the moderator went to a woman at the very end of the stage. And they said, "Miss Williamson, this next question is for you." And I'm watching this on TV, and I'm following it on Twitter, and I'm thinking to myself, who? I don't recognize the name, and I don't recognize the face. Not even on the outside of my knowledge. Like, this is drawing a complete blank. And as I'm watching this real time on Twitter, I see I'm not the only one. All these tweets are popping up in my feed. Who? What? Who is she? You know, how did she get on stage? Security? It was bizarre. And they ask her a question, and while she's answering the question, I'm Googling who is Marianne Williamson. Because I have no idea. And while I'm Googling, I'm listening to her answer, and I even forget the question, but her answer basically was, the country needs spiritual healing. Like, that was, now she couched it in a very New Age, Sedona, Arizona kind of, you know, spiritual healing. We need some crystal rocks and some health stones and... But I got to tell you, even with the New Age spin on her answer, I liked it. So while she's giving her answer, it turns out that she's an author and she wrote the book A Return to Love, which I haven't read, but apparently it's made her a millionaire. She's an official advisor to Oprah. And she believes that there's a better way than the political system in solving our problems. You know, and while she's giving her answer, the other candidates on stage, they don't care what her answer is because she's a non-entity, right? That's why NBC waited 27 minutes before they went to her with a question. But can I tell you something? Out of all the answers given by the Democrats over the last 2 days, hers was the closest to, I think, addressing the problems that ail us as a country. Because I think it gets to the core of where we're at. Because, yes, do we have a health care problem? Yes. Do we have an illegal immigration problem? Yes. Do we have a civility problem? Yes. But the solutions are not to be found in Washington, D.C. alone. And that's all you hear these politicians talking about. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When do the politicians tell us what we need to do? Right. When do the politicians say this is what you need to do to get us there? Because that's the only way we get there. Marianne Williamson had that tone right. Now, look, I think her answer was bat crap crazy, you know, like in terms of the spiritual healing and the direction she went with it. But in the sense that she was telling you and me that we need to do better, that we need to be better. I believe that. Now, she frames it in that spiritual healing. I frame it in we need to get right with God and be kind. But I think we're both saying the same thing. And that is the answer is not in Washington, D.C. Right? The real fix begins in us. Now, I was reading an article and it talked about how, you know, it's easy to sign a petition. It's easy, you know, to show up for an event and protest something, either for it, you know, support it or protest it. But the article went on and said, you know what's really hard? Being a good father. Being a good husband. Being a good mom. Being a good wife. Being a good neighbor. How much time do we spend doing those things? Because as we fix ourselves, as we take that measure of the man or woman we are, that's going to go a long way in fixing the ails that confront the country. And that's not me saying it, right? Isn't that what the founding fathers said, right? I mean, didn't they say, look, we're gonna build this magnificent structure and we're gonna have checks and balances, we're gonna have federalism, and we're gonna have separation of powers. But unless you, you know, this group we're calling We the People, unless you are moral and virtuous and kind, unless you're all those things, no matter what we build, no matter how many protections we put into place, it won't matter. And they were right. And they were right. That young University of Utah student, she's dropped off in a park at 3 a.m. in the morning by, I think it was it Lyft? A Lyft driver, not Uber, a Lyft driver. Maybe it was Uber. And I'm reading the tweets, and there are people who are saying, you know what, there should be a law against that. There should be a law that prevents Uber and Lyft drivers from dropping people off at public parks at 3 a.m. in the morning. We need to be better. Laws that are written can't protect us against ourselves. And the cultural decay we're seeing, and the decay of the institutions that used to support values and traditions, we watch their erosion. But we have to be careful, and we have to understand that our society and our progress, it's not going to be dictated by what happens in Washington, D.C. And it's not going to be dictated by, you know, whoever the nominee is for the Democrats. Or it's not going to be determined by Donald Trump. Do they have an influence? Yes. Do they have a big voice? Yes. Will their decisions impact us? Absolutely. But we need to be focused on doing the right things. We need to be focused on making the right decisions. And that's why we always say, take the time to get right with God. Be kind. Those are the elements, the building blocks of a great society. I want you to stay tuned. Ralph DeLugis, Stranger Than Fiction, up next. I'll be listening. Have a great weekend. We'll be back right here on K-Talk 1640 AM on Monday.
Timely, credible, thoughtful discussion without the partisan outrage. This is the Loving Liberty Radio Network.